See him in the House of Commons, passing laws to put down crime, while the proles and oiks and peasants picks their way through mud and slime. 'Cause it was true under the Tories, and with New Labour it's just the same, that it's the rich what gets the pleasure. Ain't it all a bleeding shame?
Good morning, Prime Minister.
In the End by Mark Taverner, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, and Jonathan Coy.
What I'm saying, Frank, is that you've got it wrong. The way you always get it wrong.
I'm not a betting man, George.
Very well.
But I bet my pension on this, the journalist killer is Coco St. Martin, celebrity chef and git.
Big issue, mate.
Go away.
Don't be so rude, Frank. I've got this week's, actually, mate.
What
have you got on that bloke, apart from not liking him?
Only that his meat cleaver was used on one of the victims. Oh, and the editor of Private Eye gets bumped off just before he's about to run a major expose on London celebrity chef.
Time's literally supplement then, mate.
There could be a million explanations for the meat cleaver. Exposes in Private Eye. You don't bump somebody off for that.
That's the medical philosophy today, mate.
The trouble with you, Frank, is you get, what do they call it, an E-Day fix.
Eating you. 100 tips for a fun-loving Buddhist then, mate.
You get something stuck in your head and nothing will get rid of it. Coco St. Martin is a blustering idiot.
With a record of violence.
Granted, but he's not a killer. Well, not this sort of killer.
So you've got a better idea.
Has it happened? Yes. Rupert Thresher.
Liberal Democrat news, mate.
How much?
Good morning and welcome to Yesterday in Parliament. I would tell you what happened in the Commons yesterday, but to be honest, the sun was shining, so I didn't go. I had a picnic. Anyway, we won't bother with yesterday's proceedings. So here instead is a classic speech from the big beast of the jungle, the ever-popular Michael Heseltine. And pop pickers...
Michael Heseltine!
Another...
I had a picnic. Do you want to go over the running order for the bulletin?
Yeah, okay.
Richard, can I work?
What's the trouble?
The trouble is, George won't let me do anything.
Maria, I only said you could spend the odd afternoon with him. Give you some idea of a crime reporter's job. You can't go straight from being a junior sub to senior correspondent.
I want to help him with his journalist murders. It just gets me ringing around local radio saying, have you got any good crime stories?
You've got to start somewhere, Maria. All right, I'll have a word with George, review the situation. Right, what have you got today, then?
Charles Prentice has been appointed head of Slash.
Head of what?
The Department to Reduce BBC Bureaucracy. There are profiles of him in the Daily.
I'm not filling up the bulletin with profiles of BBC managers. What else?
Well, the Daily Mail says it's got a leak of the New Year's Honours list.
This is the BBC. We've got to be careful with leaks.
Well, they might give us something, anyway. Oh, in the latest opinion poll, the Prime Minister's approval rating has fallen below 50%. For the first time, apparently.
Maria. Yeah. Coffee.
Kenny, you're not doing anything wrong.
This poll says I am.
An approval rating of 47% is very good.
Not when you're accustomed to approval ratings of 83%, it isn't. There is a problem, isn't there, Marcia? Well, isn't there? Come on, you said so yourself. I've been reading your latest masterpiece. What is it? Planning for the next election?
I thought I'd put down some initial ideas just to concentrate people's minds.
Yes, and I'm all in favour of it.
And if you remember, I did start off by saying that with the Conservative Party in its current state, we'd have difficulty losing the next election, even if we tried.
But you did say there were problems.
The fundamental problem is with Labour's traditional supporters. We seem to have alienated people who voted Labour all their lives. They think we've neglected them.
Marcia, this paper, it is safely under lock and key, isn't it?
Of course.
We don't want any cock-ups like the New Year's Honours list, do we?
I rather fancy a knighthood, Martin.
What for, Charles? Services of the wheeze industry.
Our crusade to save public service broadcasting.
It's not a crusade, it's a series of grubby manoeuvres.
Grubby, I grant you, but somehow indefinably noble.
Do you know what the BBC has lost, Charles? It has lost the respect it used to accord men who had developed the knack of doing nothing. Do you remember Randolph Watson?
I fear not.
Exactly. Randolph Watson was a stranger, legendary for being completely unknown. His own personal assistant once rang security to report a strange man in the office. It was Randolph.
Don't tell me, Martin. Program controller, Channel 5.
Oh, no, good Lord, no, no. He turned that down. Much too high profile. No, no, no. No, Randolph was chief publicity officer, Radio 3.
Your point being that Radio 3 doesn't get much publicity.
Under Randolph, the entire network became completely invisible. The problems were an official secret. Dear old Randolph. You see, Charles, obscurity is a way of life, nonentity as art.
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end.
Well, in Randolph's case, they didn't. He'd been dead 7 years before they took him off the payroll.
Yes, but doing nothing is no longer an option. I received an email from the chairman.
From Lord Crichton Potter to Head of Slash. Kindly inform me of your progress in cutting BBC bureaucracy. Be bold, spare no effort, or you free for lunch, Crichton Potter.
Happily, one of us at least has not been idle. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, it looks about half the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Those are our preliminary proposals.
Charles, how long are preliminary proposals?
478 pages. All the chairman has to do is write yes on page one and send it back.
These preliminary proposals don't contain anything sensible about cutting back useless overpaid bureaucrats like us.
Not when I'm writing them, Martin. Pigs shall fly.
And Sean Connery will become a dame. We're getting news that a highly confidential government report has been leaked to MPs. We're going live to Rob Nixon at Westminster.
The report concerning New Labour's strategy for the next election appears to have been written by Information Minister Marcia Mallon and is headed Prime Minister for Your Eyes Only. Incredibly, a copy was found in a photocopier here at the Commons. Amongst other things, the report admits with astonishing candour that on health and education, Labour is failing to deliver. But most damningly for the government, the report says this: as New Labour, we have no problem with people being filthy rich. After all, most of us are. Let's face it,
poor people are a flaming nuisance.
I was trying to write in an easy colloquial style.
Marcia, by the time you leave this room, you'll have received a lesson in easy colloquialisms you're never going to forget. Listen to this! Listen to this! We may feel that the public sector is full of relics of a bygone era. We may wish that public sector workers would stop whining about low pay, get off their backsides, and join the modern world. But we cannot say so in public.
Well, we have now!
Yes, but Prime Minister, I would just point out that you commended the document. You said it was very good.
I didn't tell you to enter it for the Booker Prize, did I? I didn't tell you to give it away at bus stops. How the hell did this document leak in the first place? Surely you and I were the only ones who had copies.
Yes, well, and the Chancellor.
What did you say?
He is going to be in charge of our election campaign. I thought he should see a copy.
You gave this to that sanctimonious swine next door. You gave this to my friend and colleague, the bloody Chancellor.
Yes, well, I didn't know he'd give it to the papers.
Marcia, get out of my sight.
I'm sure we can retrieve the situation.
Marcia, in your own interests. Get out.
Labour slams the poor. Well, that'll fill up the bulletins for a while.
Dame Sean of the Bahamas.
Look, I promised Maria I'd have a word.
Mm. How are things going?
Well, all right. I'm a bit busy to be bothering some young kid, to be quite honest. I'm giving her things to do, but she keeps on to me about this murder story. That's not a job for a kid.
Well, keep her interested, George. We can't afford to lose our best young people, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean there can be BBC crime correspondent 10 minutes after they're out of nappies. Honestly, that young woman is measuring me for an early grave.
Come off it. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with ambition.
Just as long as they understand it takes years of hard slog to get where I am. I mean, you see me, Richard. On 3 computers and 2 mobile telephones at once.
No, George, I've never seen you like that.
Never stop, mate. Never stop.
Here, George, is this rumour true about you returning?
No, it bloody isn't.
Chairman, I think there must be some mistake.
Why, dear fellow, have they bought you the wrong cheese?
No, the preliminary proposals?
Oh, Charles, 1,000 apologies, I should have said. Splendid piece of work.
The thing is, Chairman, you appear to have written no across the top of them.
A slip of the pen, I'm sure. Yes.
Yes?
No. You see, the thing is, Charles, I used to be leader of the Liberals.
Indeed.
And from time to time, I used to get these ghastly documents called party policy. I never actually bothered reading those things. And then, Lo and behold, I'd be confronted by a Paxwell or somebody saying, why is your party committed to giving away cannabis on the National Health? It's amazing what you can put your name to.
No, I assure you, Chairman, that nothing could have been further from my mind.
Oh, my dear Charles, of course not. But you see, what I think we need is something crisp, something succinct. What I had in mind was five pledges.
Just five?
Five clear pledges about cutting bureaucratic waste. Things that people outside the BBC can understand, and things that people inside the BBC can't wriggle out of.
Ah, yes. Yes. Quite.
Cognac?
Madam Speaker, we are sorry the Prime Minister isn't here. Has he gone for a leak?
Madam Speaker, the leaking of confidential documents is a deplorable practice which should be condemned by every member of this House. I hope the perpetrator will be caught and severely punished.
That's not what I've heard. No. We in the Conservative Party, the left wing of British politics, have heard that this caring and compassionate document was leaked by the Chancellor himself. Is that true?
Madam Speaker, that is a pathetic question. That is a pathetic question from an opposition with nothing better to do than sow divisions between me and my friend and colleague, the Prime Minister. They will not succeed.
Who the blazes did leak the wretched thing?
I really can't imagine.
My job is not up for grabs. And it won't be for very many years to come. Is that clear?
George, I have never said anything about you retiring. It did not come from me.
It came from somebody. Right. Photocopy that lot whilst Frank and I put our heads together.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. She seems very keen.
Oh, God, she's keen. I'm fresh-faced and eager.
Well, what's the matter with that?
What's wrong with it is these bloody people walk in here with a second-class degree in English and expect to be editor of Panorama inside a fortnight.
Oh, yeah, well, I know what you mean.
Is it true you're retiring? Not just yet.
Well, let's just talk about the case then, shall we?
Yeah, you're right. Look, have a squint at this. This is from the files of Private Eye.
How the hell did you get hold of these?
It's called journalism, Frank. They were doing an in-depth piece on your friend of mine, Rupert Thrisher. Look at this.
Yeah, well, he's obviously a bloke with a lot of money.
Frank, you can do better than that. Look at the withdrawals. Three withdrawals of 20,000 quid a time within a matter of weeks. Now look at the dates.
14th, 25th, the 29th. Hang about. Every one of these withdrawals was the day after a journalist got bumped off.
Heaven be praised. I knew we'd get there eventually.
Well, what you're saying, well, I think you're saying is that if Thresher's involved in these murders, he isn't doing the dirty work himself, he's paying some sort of professional to do it for him. Hence, big withdrawal the day after every killing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but he might just be a rich bloke who likes throwing his money around. The dates could be just coincidence. To be honest, George, what I'd really like is a motive, a good, solid motive.
And you shall have it, my old mate. What is Thresher best known for nowadays?
I mean, the thing is, Wednesday is just not good enough for the Premiership.
Yeah, that's a very intelligent point, and thank you for making it, mate. We're taking a break for the news now, but remember, this is Democracy on the Air, the show for the real football fans. You have your say. You set the agenda. Time now for the news and sport.
Life news, life sport.
Hey, look, Sarah, is it too much to expect the BBC to provide a decent carrot when I'm in? If you think I can get through 2 hours of listening to pig ignorant peasants on this muck, you're very much mistaken. Go and get me a decent carrot, will you?
Yes, Mr. Thresher.
Motive. Rupert Thresher is a young, brash, clever politician. In the cabinet before he's 40. Future Prime Minister.
Whose career got wrecked by a sex scandal. We know all this, George.
Whose career was destroyed by the tabloids. He hates reporters.
So do lots of people. That doesn't mean he's our boy.
He resigns in disgrace, but he's a survivor, our Rupert. He thinks broadcasting... Oh, now there's money for old Rupert. He starts a football phone-in on the BBC, and it's good. No, to be fair, it's very good. And the BBC pays him a fortune. And he does other things. He does a jazz show on Radio 3, and that's good as well.
Wait now when you get to the motive, George.
Now, supposing your life had been turned upside down by the tabloids, torn to bits, but you'd come through it, you'd show them, and then your life, the one you've managed to build out of the ashes, is about to be torn apart a second time. Listen, Frank. My dearest, dearest darling, I miss you. I think of you every time I hear the word Arsenal.
What?
Photocopying.
Yeah, right.
Is there something else I can do?
No, not just now. Listen. When will we be together? When am I going to hear you say, he's onside, and the goal is wide open?
Little boys' games.
What?
Nothing, George.
But this is the killer, Frank. If you pardon the expression. The only way I can stand it, listening week in, week out to those dribbling morons prattling on and on about football, is that it makes me think of you. Chair. How do you think the BBC would feel about that? Keep his football phoning after that, would he?
You've got a point.
Yeah, bloody right, I've got a point. Who was it who said George Crabb was ready for the scrap event? Who was it? Private Eye was going to run this letter. Oh, and I expect they'd have run that photograph again. Old Rupert in the bedroom in his Arsenal strip. Yes. Now, even in the world-weary eyes of Scotland Yard, that is a motive.
We'd better talk to the fellow anyway.
Maria, there is something you can do.
All right, great.
Bring Ronnie Scott and book a table. Thresh is a member.
I'm not a bloody secretary.
Forget the chef, Frank. This is our bloke. Sorry, what was that?
Nothing, George.
Your proposal for an extended tour of the BBC's outstations in order to identify possible savings.
Is it a yes?
No, Crichton Potter. Martin, what has got into the chairman? What gave him this absurd idea about cutting bureaucracy?
I suppose somebody did their sums and found out how much we're spending on superfluous managers.
Yes.
Charles, you've got that I've had a wheeze look.
Somebody did their sums. Martin, who do you think has told the chairman that our round-the-world trip to identify savings is uneconomical?
Some accountant somewhere?
Who was it who said we couldn't move into a bigger office?
The accountants.
Or have a new carpet?
The accountants. You know, the trouble with this place is there are too many
damned accountants. Email the chairman. I suggest an immediate cut of 50% in the number of accountants employed by the BBC. As for the rest, I recommend the following redeployment.
Redeployment?
Where's your staff directory? Now, Director of Finance.
Is he responsible for this, Sherry?
Not anymore, he isn't. To Chairman, in order to shift resources into programme-making, I suggest the Director of Finance be redesignated Head of Boxing.
I don't think the BBC shows any boxing.
I know. Your turn.
Oh, now, who's the swine who wouldn't let me have a new carpet? Yes, Controller Office Resources. Yes, to Chairman, I recommend the Controller of Office Resources be redesignated Chief Executive Outside Broadcast.
Well, wait a minute, that's a real job.
Bracket, fishing programs, bracket.
Martin, we don't show any fishing programs.
I know. Now, who's this? Yeah, Head Accountant, World Service. I'll put him down for Special Assistant, Talks and Documentaries, Radio Shetland.
And when he comes to the door and says, why are you doing this to me? We'll reply, rather wittily, because we can. Now, I want to do one.
Let me do one.
Madam Speaker, matters have been raised and questions have been asked. They will be answered in full. But first of all, let me say how nice it is to see the leader of the Conservative Party. I've been looking forward all morning to spending some time in his company. He makes me laugh. Well, he makes everybody laugh. And never more so than when he is discussing serious politics. Let us turn to the serious issues before us. Oh, yes. Yes, Madam Speaker. Sometimes I do wonder why I came.
Well, don't ask us.
And then I remember the values that governed Britain for 18 long years. Whatever is mean in the human spirit, whatever is small in the human mind, those are the values of the party opposite, and that is why I came. Whatever is nasty, spiteful, and callous, whatever is envious, bitter, and malicious, those are the values of the party opposite, and that is why I came.
Hallelujah.
Am Am I to be lectured about caring by the Conservative Party? Am I to be lectured about compassion by the Conservative Party?
Will he give way?
I give way to the Right Honourable Gentleman.
I am grateful. Madam Speaker, these attacks are a complete irrelevance. Why doesn't he talk about the Labour Party? That's where his problems are.
Well, now, I'm being lectured about irrelevance by the Conservative Party. but of course, he's quite right. I should be talking to the Labour Party, because we are the governing party, and we're going to go on being the governing party.
And on!
Oh, it's quite all right, Mr. Thresher. The BBC doesn't bandy people's private correspondence about. There you are. Must have been a bit of a shock, though, finding out the private eye had them.
It's what we call in the trade a motive, sir.
Superintendent, when you suffer at the hands of the press the way I have, do you seriously imagine that one more revelation makes any difference?
Well, not the sex bit, sir, no. It was more your job prospects I was thinking of. How I despise these idiots with their sad obsessions. Oh, make a good title for your memoirs, that. My sad obsessions.
Don't you ever let off steam? Relax a bit. Get it out of your system.
Oh, yes, that's what I'm doing now.
He's got a point, though, hasn't he, sir? And what about these withdrawals? 20,000 the day after every murder.
If that's what you two call evidence, I can only say that I deeply look forward to seeing you in court.
Would you like to offer some sort of explanation for getting out all this money?
No, I would not. And as you well know, bank statements obtained illegally cannot be used as evidence of anything.
Thanks, Maria.
You know, when you had to resign as a cabinet minister, what did you think about the journalists who did that to you? You must have wanted to punish them in some way.
Maria, can you confine yourself to taking notes? And we agree.
Look, Mr. Thresher, we want to know what you did with that money. Otherwise, some of this private eye material is going to start popping up in football fanzines all over the country. Come on, we haven't got all night. Let's have it.
Superintendent, may we speak in private?
Of course we may, sir.
BBC Radio 4. The news at 7 o'clock. The Prime Minister has received a prolonged ovation from MPs after an emotional speech in the Commons. For an analysis of today's events, here's our special political correspondent, Max Parker.
I think it was Winston Churchill, except that it wasn't.
Max Parker. The chairman of the BBC, Lord Crichton Potter, has claimed that outstanding progress is being made in his drive to cut BBC bureaucracy. Controversy continues to mount over the alleged award of a knighthood to Nasser Hussain for services to English cricket. BBC Radio 4 News.
Charles Elmore. Excellent idea, abolishing all those accountants.
Excellent.
You approve the plan, Chairman?
Oh, with wholehearted enthusiasm. I'm just on my way to a governor's meeting. I shall be able to report that the war on bureaucracy is making splendid progress.
We are pleased if you're pleased, Chairman.
You know... Just for a moment, you had me worried. When you produced 487 pages of, how shall I put it?
A carefully costed 10-year plan of ruling reductions?
No, that's not it. A mountain of utter drivel about meets the case.
It was meticulously researched.
Yes, drivel often is, in my experience. But it did get me wondering. For half a moment, I thought, is this an attempt to pull the grass over my eyes and kick it into the long wool?
I'm sorry.
It was only for a moment. But I thought, this isn't a serious plan. This is a wheeze.
A wheeze.
Wheeze. But then you came up with this splendid plan.
The governors are all here, Chairman.
Just coming, Billy. There is just one thing. Now that we've fired all these accountants, how are we going to measure all the savings we're making? On the face of it, we've got rid of exactly the people who ought to be working it out. Still, I know you've got an answer for that.
Well, of course we have, Chairman. Haven't we, Martin?
It was one of the first things we considered, Charles.
Mm. Of course it was. Otherwise, it might look almost like another wheeze. Well, keep up the good work, Charles. All right, Penny, I'm coming.
Charles, you've got that cursor spoiled again, look.
And you reckon the story will check out?
Yeah. I believe it. The money goes to support his mistresses. One in Paris, one in New York, so we can scrub him out.
We most certainly cannot scrub him out. If that evidence won't stand up, I'll find some that will.
Do I get some credit for getting it out of him?
We'll talk about what you did in the morning.
She didn't do anything you wouldn't have done, George.
few years ago. Anyway, I've got to be off.
I buy you a drink, George. Go on. Pint of Guinness.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You should have seen the look on the Chancellor's face when you were giving that stuff about your family and your boyhood.
Yes. Yes, Marcy.
And when you did your sincerity bit, does anyone in this house believe I don't care? Did I come into politics not to care? I thought the Tories were going to start cheering.
Yes. Never fails, does it? My sincerity bit.
Before you'd been going 2 minutes, they'd forgotten all about the blessed report. It was masterly, Kenny. Masterly.
I said nothing, Marcy.
No Prime Minister in history has ever said nothing the way you say nothing. Oh, come on, I wrote the speech. I'm entitled to some thanks.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Marcia.
Well, don't you fancy a drink or something?
It's all such a nonsense, isn't it? Such a bloody nonsense. Marcia, I'd like to be left alone tonight. You go off and have your drink.
Oh, morning, George. Good of you to put in an appearance. Can you do me 5 minutes for the 9 o'clock?
What about
Home Office report on substance abuse in older men?
Can I get his breakfast, George? Some nice greasy sausages.
Nonsense. What this man needs is toast with marmalade and Devonshire cream.
Richard, I owe you an apology.
Yes, you do.
I may have got Maria a bit drunk last night.
Maria's been here since 6:30, George. She covered for you on the Today Show.
Oh, all right.
Morning, George. How's the head?
Oh, Maria, can we have a word?
Sure. Oh, Maria, how drunk was I last night?
Well, fairly drunk. You did say that Andrew Lloyd Webber was the greatest genius who ever lived.
Oh, hell.
Then you grabbed the microphone and sang, "I don't know how to love him," to the bloke with the double bass.
Oh, sure.
Only the management got a bit agitated when you did "I'll Compose the Music of the Night." It was meant to be an evening of experimental saxophone.
Hmm.
It was all right. I got a taxi and got you back to your flat. It's not a big deal.
Thanks, mate.
It's okay. We'd better get on with something, hadn't we?
Maria.
Yeah?
I woke up in bed.
People do.
You undressed me.
All part of the service. You know, I didn't realise they made Crystal Palace boxer shorts.
If one word of this ever gets out...
Well, you better find me so much to do, I forget all about it, haven't you?
Frank, what the hell are you doing here?
I've been summoned to the scene of a crime.
What, this news one?
Somebody's just got into this building carrying a meat cleaver. The somebody was Coco St. Martin, celebrity chef. And git.
In the End was written by Mark Kavanagh and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Jonathan Coy, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Anton Rogers, Rebecca Front and Jessica Oyelowo. And also featured Simon Greenall, Michael Fenton Stevens, Peter Woodthorpe, Hugh Parker, Neil McCall, Chris Pavlo, David Holt, Beth Chalmers, and Harriet Cash. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. The executive producer was Paul Sessinger. In the End was produced by Dawn Ellis.